Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. We're going to dig a little deeper into this Dennis Dual campus proposal. We've got a couple of experts in the studios. Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. And we'll announce our winner of our Brinkotter Bright Bulbs contest. All of that starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
What time is that bad weather coming in overnight? 1 o'clock?
Yeah, about, well, it's going to be rain before 1, and then maybe some rain snow after that.
Well, you definitely, just gauging by the Herald Review's audience, want to be off the roads by about 1 o'clock this evening, right? Or into tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Just saying. We are back here on what is a pretty nice Friday, though. We're going to get into this Dennis Dual campus proposal. I was looking at the Board of Education minutes, and I was going to print out because it had the whole Dennis thing, and then I saw it was like 836 pages.
Yeah.
And I am a little more conscious of that. I know you think I have too much paper in my life, but I didn't print the entire thing.
You know,
it is on the DPS website if you'd like to go peruse it yourself. In regards to some of the comments that we were just reading earlier in the program about this whole other thing, people talking about they're closing schools right or left, I think people are missing the point that the district is taking a deep dive into, how many buildings do we have? How many students do we have? What makes sense? What doesn't make sense? Just because something's always been this way doesn't necessarily mean it's the way it should be. But also, hey, look at the success we're having over here. Can we enlarge and duplicate that? And I applaud them. I mean, they've gone, the outreach has been incredible. I mean, they've been out in the public. They've invited parents and concerned people to be a part of this process. They got an entire committee put together. And my long-asked question, I mean, this goes back to at least Gloria Davis, which was, three superintendents ago. You have so much success at this Dennis Lab School. I mean, everybody is the parents, the administration in the building, the teachers, the kids, Millikan University, the neighborhood, and you've got a waiting list of people trying to get into this school. Why would you not try to duplicate what you have here or make it a little bit more accessible for more of the community? And it seems like that is just the case of what they are trying to do. And we're going to get into that with the Education Spotlight this morning. Our great pleasure to welcome Keith Creighton and Sarah Smith into the studios. Now, Keith, you're the assistant principal. Is that right?
Yeah, thanks so much for having us here. We really appreciate it.
I mean, you guys are the experts, so we're going to get some solid information from you today. So the assistant principal, has that always been a thing?
Yeah,
we've always had principals and assistant principals, right?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. We sure have. Yeah.
But what do you get to do, like the stuff that the principal doesn't want to do? I remember the vice president always said, there's a whole warm bucket of spit thing, which I always thought was unfair to vice presidents because it's an important job. But you gotta do the work.
Sure. There's always on the contract that line that says other duties as assigned.
We all have that.
Yeah,
today.
Absolutely. So no, but Principal Dan Lynch over there is new at Dennis this year. He's coming to us from Paris, Illinois, and he is. I really appreciate his leadership style in terms of my role as assistant principal.
Well, you guys are kind of a team.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we see it that way for sure.
All right. And Sarah, you're an instructional coach?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
It means I work alongside teachers and talk with them about curriculum, instruction, assessments, student needs.
And you're also a member of the Project-Based Learning National faculty, and we'll get into all of that. But let me ask you about the history of Dennis. Mm-hmm. It hasn't always been this way. I mean, I remember I went to Dennis School for a couple of years in grade school, the year that the Monarch thing happened over at this, I mean, which we're still talking about, which is crazy, like 50 years later. But recently, in our recent memory, Dennis really has bloomed into sort of this model of what a neighborhood school can be from parental involvement, from the relationships with Millikan University. I mean, that didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen because of one or two people. I mean, how did it unfold?
Well, I think it's really a collection of a lot of people who come together, like you said. It's not one person, but there was a real interest to revitalize, and I think we found the power of collaboration. And how when people are working together and starting to have conversations about what the school is about and why it exists, I think that's when you come up with the creative solutions and you're bringing in Millikan University. Parents want to get involved and you have to be open to wanting to listen to
and
those
real
things.
Estate, because
Absolutely.
The West End turned over,
yep.
When I was a kid, it was full of kids, and then it got to be kind of an older neighborhood and then it mm-hmm. recycled back to young families. And so it was kind of a perfect storm, right?
It was, yeah. And really that's kind of been, our biggest hurdle over the last couple of years is just the space. That we've been at 146% capacity, and we have students who are coming in and excited about living in that area, and then they can't come to the school because there's the classes are full.
You guys are 146% capacity, is
that
right?
Yes.
How does that work?
There are kids and teachers everywhere.
Yeah. But I mean, that could be a recipe for disaster, right? With too large of classrooms or too many. I mean, you hear that about other schools. We were talking about this about Hope Academy the other day with the Board of Education. You know, that's not ideal.
No, it's not. We have a lot of folks, I think, but who are sacrificing or making changes to what they really love to do because they believe in what we're trying to believe and do.
And then there's more than 200 students, as I understand, that live in the Dennis boundary, but are sent to other schools because you are way over capacity.
Yeah, and some of those are, of course, you know, they would make a choice to go to a parochial school, or maybe they are enrolled in our magnet programs. But we have several other students that are part of that pod system where if there's no room in one school, then they get ushered to a different school.
Okay, so either one of you take this. So when did this conversation start about a dual campus?
When the district released its bold plan last year, they look to address our concerns about the space. And through that series of dominoes, with French Academy moving and the Montessori programs being combined, that building created a nice opportunity to answer that question. So the conversation began there. For us particularly, it started in about January when the district sort of said, we see your excitement about this. We hear that you guys want to help decide how this works. So, you know, here's a blank canvas. You guys figure out what you want to do and make that proposal to us. And so about March is when we really got started on the working. And so it's been, you know, months in the works.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about the visioning team and who all is on that and then the timeline. But I want to make sure that I understand this. So the campus as it is today, and I don't know if these decisions are all final, but the French campus would be pre-K through first and then fourth and fifth grades?
That's correct. Yes.
And then the Dennis campus would be second and third and then back for sixth through eighth.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So there would be movement in the buildings of the same kids, you know, being in both locations throughout their career if they stayed there for all 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how does that work?
One of the things that we sat down as a visioning team and really decided what makes Dennis Dennis, what's our why, and that community, the collaboration, what started as a label of a neighborhood school, really we embraced just all of the people that work together to help raise the child, like the village. And one of the things that we were the most concerned about was we did not want a dual campus to be two buildings that then eventually through the years just sort of drift apart, and we may be one school in name only. So we thought this way, and in looking at the research and everything, that by having students go back and forth, that they would be comfortable in both spaces, helping to keep that unity
so
of school together.
So it's truly one community.
One community.
I start here, I move over to here, back to here, back to here.
We have an event on one campus, and you feel comfortable to go over there and do that fall festival, or you come over here for a book fair.
Because the parents and the family, the extended family, are all in both buildings.
That's right.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, are there examples of this in other places?
Not many of them, actually, that we research for everything before we do anything. And no, we didn't find a ton of examples of.
Well, sometimes when you're building something, you know, for the first time, you got to go and you don't have something else to copy. That's okay, though. Being visionary is a great thing. All right. So the dual campus visioning team, who's on this team?
It was made up of staff members that were represented from the different groups that we have at the school. But then also we wanted to make sure that we involved parents. We had students on the board. Then we wanted community members. So we had Dr. Priscilla Palmer came over from Richland. It was wonderful to hear from her and her perspective. And Siobhan Francis, and we had a bunch of other folks who weren't necessarily connected to the ins and outs that helped us to think outside of our own little group think of what we were going on. And so the group was just really dynamic, so passionate about the work, and we were really lucky to have such strong membership.
Okay, and so I know not everyone that complains actually gets involved. I mean, you know, you can invite everyone. It doesn't mean that everyone shows up. But you guys feel like you did everything you could do to, you know, reach out to the broader public to be a part of this process.
Yeah, we created surveys. We put it online. We had it up at multiple of our events at Dennis. We had time for our staff, especially in our staff meeting time, to make sure that they had a really good understanding to be able to help articulate what we were thinking and get other stakeholders' opinions and thoughts to even challenge our own. So we weren't too group thinky and could expand our thoughts even further.
All right. Talk to me a little bit about project-based learning. I mean, I you know, have a pretty good working definition of what that phrase means, but how does that translate, you know, in pre-K and K and, you know, in these formative years? Because this primary education is so important. I mean, it's laying the foundation for everything else. Why is project-based learning such a big part of this?
Well, what was 8 years ago when Dennis decided that project-based learning was going to be the way that we do business, basically the way we teach. We had lots of professional development on this, and over the years, we've just seen how empowering it is to young people. And you got to see students question, and then they were going to find the answer to the question. And it wasn't that I have to learn because the teacher tells me to. It's I want to learn because I have a question and I want an answer to that question.
Right. And Keith, how long have you been in education?
16 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This project-based thing makes a lot of sense to business owners.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we look at education and go, well, you know, that's a little different than maybe, you know, the real world experience. But it seems like that move has been made across the board. I mean, even with college campuses, I know Millikan University is much more that way than they were.
Absolutely.
20 years ago.
Yep.
It just makes sense, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
It does. It provides that real life, you can do something right now. I truly believe that the kids that we have at Dennis are going to go out there and change the world. And some of them are doing it right now through these projects. And they're starting to see that their circumstances don't define them, that they define them with the way that they go about solving problems and looking at the world. And I think project-based learning has just opened their eyes to the fact that they can do things that are even bigger than they thought.
All right, we're visiting with Sarah Smith, an instructional coach at Dennis and member of the project-based learning faculty, and Dennis assistant principal Keith Creighton this morning. The timeline on this, you know, how does all this unfold? You know, when will this take place? When will both of these campuses be operational?
Next school year. So we've got the logistics team now. Our transition team, as we're going to call them, are going to start unrolling in January to start figuring out, you know, the specifics of different things, where how to move the library books or who packs up where. And we'll do that work throughout the second semester and the summer. And then we'll be ready to start on the dual campus project next school year.
How many kids, you know, what will be the capacity then for this dual campus, as far as we talk about the 200 kids who live in the boundary right now that are sent to other schools? You talk about being at 146% capacity right now at Dennis. What will this all look at, like, capacity-wise when both campuses are open?
We're currently just over 450 students that are a part of our program, and we're planning for and looking for about 700.
All right. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you guys hear from parents all the time, right? People that want in this. I mean, people want to be a part of something that's successful. That's the great thing about it. It's a lot of heavy lifting up front, but there is a snowball effect that people want to jump on the bandwagon when they see other kids and other families having such great success. So how happy are people about this opportunity and availability of being able to increase the student population?
I hope that they're very excited. I hope that those families that have found that they can't get in, or maybe even families didn't know the process to make sure that they were in time or getting some of those coveted slots, are going to be able to really be excited about that. And not only that, but a whole nother neighborhood around the French Academy campus will now have their own kind of neighborhood school as a part of this as well. So we're really looking forward to the excitement that new voices will bring to the conversation.
Okay, so where can folks find out all the details? You know, maybe they're listening, driving to work, doing whatever, and they want to go to the DPS site and look at this for themselves. Where do they find that?
Yeah, so right now on the Facebook page for the district and for our own school, we've got a nice video that was put together by the district that kind of explains and lays this all out. And we're working on developing a web page that'll have all of the information as it comes out, chance to look and see the layouts of the different schools and where that's going.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming in today and helping shine some light on this. And I think it's great. It's just sometimes life isn't as hard as we make it, right? I mean, this is very successful. It's clearly successful from everyone involved, from parents to administrators to teachers to everybody in the classroom and the kids. Why not duplicate that or at least be able to enlarge that so more people can participate? And that's exactly what you guys are doing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for having us.
We really appreciate it. We'll take a break. Back with more. Here is Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies, highs near 46 degrees. Then for tonight, slight chance of rain before 1 a.m. Then a chance of rain, snow overnight with lows around 32. Saturday, chance of rain and snow before noon. Then a slight chance we could see some drizzle after that. Highs around 38 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny, highs near 30. It is currently 33 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Hi, this is Jan. Thank